Welcome to Live with Passion and the teachings of Father Cedric Pazegna. This program is designed to help deepen your relationship with God and empower you to live with greater passion. We invite you to log on to www.frcedric.org for more inspiration. That's www.frcedric.org. May the Holy Spirit touch you as you listen now.
Welcome to Live with Passion. Thank you so much for tuning into the program. I want to talk to you about hope. I want to talk to you about, as 1 Peter says, we have a living hope. So in other words, hope isn't just for the future. Hope is alive right now. Perhaps my favorite verses in all of the Bible, Romans 8:28-30. Romans 8:28-30, and it goes like this. We know that in everything, God works for good for those who love Him, who are called according to His purpose. For those whom God foreknew, He predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, Jesus, in order that He might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. Those whom God predestined, He called. Those whom He called, He justified. Those whom He justified, He glorified. We have a wonderful hope. God is making all things work to good. Let's go to the preaching that was recorded in New Orleans. We have in life two basic dispositions. One is hope and the other is despair. Either you're a person of hope or you're not. And unfortunately, many people look at life with despair and they wonder what the meaning of life is and what's going to happen to them. But other people believe the best. They believe they have a glorious future. They believe that God is working in their life. And I want to talk about hope this morning. Because many people, for some reason, they give in to despair, and I want you to be a person of hope. And hope, of course, believes that something glorious is ahead of us, that we have a wonderful future. But I want to talk about hope in a nuanced way. I want to talk about hope as being something good is happening right now. It may not seem like it, it may not feel like it, but God is at work in your life. And the scripture, of course, that I take is Romans 8:28, God makes all things work to good for those who love Him. And the scripture says, when it talks about hope, of course, you know, if you read the catechism, you'll hear that hope is a theological virtue. But the scriptures tell us that we have a living hope. So hope is alive. And I want you to key in on this, because we have a living hope. It never fades. It never goes away. Three things last forever: faith, hope, and love. So now we have hope, and it will be realized in heaven. So let me talk to you about hope and how God makes all things work to good. And I want you to see, remember now what I said, that hope isn't just for the future, it's for right now. That God is making things work to good in your life right now, even though it doesn't seem like it or it doesn't feel like it. I love to tell stories, and this is one of my favorite ones to tell. It's about a farmer who had a horse, just one horse. And he was out plowing the land, and he's out there, you know, hitched to the plow with the horse, and he's plowing the land and everything, and all of a sudden the harness on the horse broke. The horse took off, jumped the fence, gone. Now he's got no horse. And the neighbors heard about it, and they all came running over, and they said, well, we heard what happened to your horse. That's bad luck. But the farmer had wisdom, and he said, bad luck? Good luck? Who knows? Next day, the horse came back, and all had a whole herd of wild horses behind it. Now the farmer had all these horses, and the neighbors heard about it. They all come running over. Hey, we heard what happened. You got all these horses now. That's good luck. And the wise farmer said, well, good luck, bad luck, who knows? Next day, the farmer's son was up on one of these wild horses trying to break it. And the wild horse bucked him off and he fell off. And the farmer's son broke his leg. Neighbors come running over. Hey, we heard what happened to your son. That's bad luck. And the wise farmer said, well, bad luck, good luck, who knows? Then the next day, the army came to town, and they conscripted all the able-bodied young men to go off to war. Because the farmer's son had a broken leg, they left him alone. Now, was that good luck, bad luck? Who knows? You're all laughing, and you know why. See, I'm trying to describe that sometimes what seems to be good may not be good. And sometimes what seems to be bad may not be bad. That's right. And so I want you to see that in your life. Constantly, when things happen to me in my life, I wonder, is this good or bad? Let's just give it a little time and see, because God knows how to write straight with crooked lines. An example of that is the cross. You know, we call this Good Friday. What's so good about a man being tortured and put to death, an innocent man? And yet we call it Good Friday, not Bad Friday, Good Friday, because God brought resurrection, and he knows how to write straight with crooked lines. So you have to look beneath the surface of things, the surface of your life, to see that God really is working, even in the tragedies, the trials, and the hardships of life. I remember the story about this man who was out sailing, and the wind hit him, ended up getting in a shipwreck, and found himself on this island, you know, way off the shipping lanes. Nobody knew where he was. His radio was broken. He said, first thing, he was all upset, and he says, "Why did this have to happen to me? I'm lost. I'm going to die out here." So he figured he better go get some food, but first he made a little wooden hut and built a fire next to it, and off he went to get some food. Comes back, and the wind had blown the fire onto the hut. Now this hut was smoking, you know, smoke coming up everywhere. So he takes the bananas and the coconuts, throws them down. He says, "Why did you do this to me? This is bad luck. First the shipwreck, now this." About a half an hour later, a ship came into the harbor. He was saved. He goes to the captain. He goes, "Captain, how did you find me? I'm in the middle of nowhere." Captain said, "Oh, that was easy. We saw your smoke signal." So was that bad luck? No, it was good luck. You know, it's interesting how God oftentimes appears in the fires of life. Did you notice that? For example, in the Old Testament, how did he appear to Moses? He appeared in a burning bush. Sometimes we talk about life when something's going hard or there's troubles or trials at the job or in the family. We say, "Boy, I got a fire going on in my life right now." Well, bad luck, good luck, who knows? Maybe some of you watching by TV, you're flipping through and came upon this program and you've been going through some tragedies, some trials in your life, some fires in your life. And what I'm saying is that bad? Not necessarily, because God's working. God appeared to Moses in the burning bush. And remember the great story of the three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They wouldn't bow down to Nebuchadnezzar, and they wouldn't worship his idols. So Nebuchadnezzar threw them into the fire, to the fiery furnace. And he said, "Who's the God that can save you now?" And then he even turned it up 7 times hotter. And then as he looked in there, he said, he figured, you know, they'd be burnt to a crisp. He walks over and he looks in there and he sees, "Wait a minute, didn't I throw 3 of them in there? There's 4 of them in there, and one looks like the Son of God." And it was the Son of God. See, when you go into the fire, God goes in there with you, and he's doing something. And it's interesting, Nebuchadnezzar let them out. And I love what the Bible said, they didn't even smell like smoke. So in other words, every hair on your head is counted, Jesus said. When you're going through some hard times, you're going through the difficulties, don't look so much at the fire, look at the one who's in there with you in the fire. You know, speaking of bad luck, good luck, I remember when I was a young man, I was 18 years old, I was a freshman in college, and I was dating. I dated this woman for 9 months. We loved each other, and it was a great relationship, but I knew in my heart of hearts that she wasn't the one that I was to marry. I knew way back then, and we ended up breaking up, and I was devastated. I go like this because it hurt in my stomach. I mean, I was nauseous. I could barely even eat. You can call it puppy love or call it whatever you want, but it was really hard. And I thought to myself, this is the worst thing that could have ever happened in my life. But remember, God writes straight with crooked lines. And what seems to be bad sometimes, actually, God will make work to your good. So what happened to me is in my loneliness and in my emptiness and in my hurt, in my pain of that broken relationship, and there's probably no worse pain that you can go through in your life than a broken relationship. And in that hardship of that broken relationship, that's when I started seeking God. See, at that time I didn't have God in my life and didn't know, you know, I hoped that God existed and everything. Little did I know that even though I didn't know God and I wasn't really praying to God, God was working in my life even then. You know, while we were yet sinners, do you know that verse from Romans? While we were yet sinners, God loved us and Christ died for us. So in other words, even when you're not seeking God, and even when you don't know God, and even when you're far from God, God still loves you, and he's still working in your life. So I remember it was then that I had a born-again experience. It was then that I discovered God in my life, because One of the classic elements in a conversion is this. You have discomfort of some type. You have some type of suffering. You have some type of hurt, pain, loneliness, emptiness in your life. Because if you're feeling great and nothing's wrong in your life, you're not going to want to change. But the catalyst of change is discomfort and suffering and hardship. And God works in this and through this. He doesn't give it to you, but He works in it and through it to bring you to new life. God makes all things work to good for those who love Him. I think about, you know, where I live in Houston. I live at a retreat center there, and we are a mecca for the 12-step program. And if you know anything about the 12-step program, that's Alcoholics Anonymous, Overeaters Anonymous, all these anonymous programs. Every day, twice a day, we have meetings there. People come and they gather. What's interesting, a person that finally admits that they have an addiction, they turn away from denial and from pride, and they open themselves up to admit that they have a problem. It's interesting that that problem, that addiction, that hardship, that bottoming out can actually be a catalyst or a spark to lead them to God. I have talked to so many people who have been born and brought up Catholic, who had fallen away from the church, gone off into these addictions, gone off into these problems, gone off into bottoming out, relationship problems, addiction problems, personal problems, you know, having these tremendous sufferings in their life. And then they have this moment of awakening. You see, all the while you're straying and dealing with these different things, God hasn't abandoned you just because you doubt Him and you don't know Him and maybe you aren't seeking Him. Well, God still loves you right from the beginning of your existence, and He's going to continue to love you. Your deeds aren't going to make Him not love you. He's just waiting for you to come back. It's kind of like the prodigal father. We call it the story of the prodigal son, but it's the father who's prodigious, who's extravagant in his loving and his forgiving. Remember what happens? The son takes off, and he goes and he squanders all the inheritance and loose living. And remember now, when everything's going good and you're comfortable and everything, there's no reason to be converted. You know, he's the life of the party. He's having a good time. He's off having a great time with everybody, but then the money runs out. And then he's got a tragedy of tragedies. He's got to get a job. And of course, he gets a job and he's slopping with the pigs in the mud, and he didn't even get a job, and he's so hungry. He comes to his senses, the Bible says. See, that's what it is. That's just what I'm talking about. That's how conversion happens oftentimes. Sometimes you got to slop with the pigs in the mud for a while before you wake up and you come to your senses. And then, of course, the prodigious father is always waiting for his son to return. And his son finally does return. And when he does, notice what he says to him. In the beginning of the parable, he said, "Give me your inheritance. Give me my inheritance." But he comes back to his father and he says, he doesn't say, "Give me" anymore. He says, "Make me one of your hired servants." See, that's a conversion. Instead of "Give me, give me, give me," you say, "Make me, mold me, change me, do a great work in me." And that's the good that God is after. So I talk to so many people that are in the 12-step program, and they say that they're bottoming out, their addiction actually turned out to good. They have a religious awakening, they find God in their life, and they come back to church. Maybe it's the Catholic Church, maybe it's another church, but it's amazing how God works in people's lives through the tragedies of life, and they find the forgiveness and the salvation that they need. So I want to tell you right now, you know, maybe you're going through an addiction or a hardship that you can't seem to break. Well, don't give up on God, because God hasn't given up on you. He's right there for you. He's going to do something great in your life. You can find God in your life. He loves you before the world began, and He's not going to stop loving you. So don't give up on God. Have hope. Don't be a person of despair. And whatever you're going through, maybe it's a relationship problem, maybe it's a physical suffering, maybe it's some type of a trial or some type of a suffering of some sort. Well, don't give up on God, because God's going to continue to work in your life. It may not seem like it, may not feel like it, but God makes all things work to good for those who love Him. He brings resurrection out of the cross. And that's what we have to understand. It's called Good Friday because of the effects, not so much of the suffering, but of what God did in the suffering and how God brought resurrection. So hope is believing that God is working in our situation. And all you have to do is look at the human condition, and you will see right now, this day, people being converted, people being changed, people being transformed, people admitting that they have addictions, people turning away from sin. God is working in everybody's situation. Give God a chance. Don't live with despair. Live with hope. And I always tell people that you can cope through hope. It's interesting how pearls are produced. You know, women love to wear pearls, and they're valuable, and they're good-looking, and, you know, they're precious, precious pearls. Well, if you know anything about a pearl, here's this little oyster there at the bottom of the sea. And then he has a little opening, and he opens his mouth just a little bit, and a piece of sand gets in there, an irritation. He didn't like it at all because he was comfortable there for a while. And then when that irritant gets in there, he's not so comfortable anymore. So he fights with it. He struggles with it. He wrestles with it. And as I was saying last night, you know, it's in that wrestling and the struggling sometime that new life comes. So he fights it. He wrestles with it. He tries to push it out. He tries to get rid of that irritant. You know, of course, what I'm talking about, irritating people and, you know, hardships, losing your job and physical sufferings. You know, we all have that stuff. So he fights with it, tries to get rid of it, doesn't want it, tries to push it out. And after a while, a beautiful pearl is produced, all from the irritant. You know what I tell people? That irritations are invitations to new life. That obstacles can be opportunities. That your tragedies can be turned into triumphs. You just have to be a person of hope. You got to see how life works. And this is it. I mean, God is working. This is how you bear fruit, the fruit of the Spirit, the pearls of the Spirit, as it were. You know, it's a political season right now, and by the way, much of what I'm teaching about comes from my first book called Live Passionately, the one with the butterfly in the front. And I have this story in here about Abraham Lincoln. And, you know, Abraham Lincoln was one of the greatest presidents in the United States, but I don't know if you know about his road to the White House. It was fraught with failure and nervous breakdowns and defeats. He failed in business in 1831, defeated for legislature in 32, second failure in business in 33, suffered a nervous breakdown in 36, defeated for Speaker, defeated for Congress, defeated for Congress, defeated for Senate, defeated for Vice President, defeated for Senate, elected President in 1860. All those years of defeat and failures and nervous breakdowns, but he stayed with hope and he didn't give up. And it's the same in any business, any businessman or any person who strives for success in whatever endeavor, whatever field, there's going to be setbacks and there's going to be trials and tribulations, but you don't let that, you know, you've all heard, if you fall off the horse, get back up. Get back up on the horse. You can't let that stuff stop you, but you got to learn from it. You make mistakes. You know, I just think about preaching, for example. I would no way be where I am in preaching were it not for my failures. You know, I used to, when I would preach and when I wouldn't tell stories in there, everybody would go, oh, no humor. Oh. It's like, okay, I got to change my ways here. You know, you learn by suffering, and that's the way it is. You tell stories, you use humor. You, of course, you know, I use personal experiences and people get it. So what about the story of Joseph in the Old Testament? Of course, I'm not talking about Joseph, the husband of Mary. I'm talking about Joseph in the Old Testament. And of course, as we know, Joseph was a man who was one of the sons of Jacob, one of the 12 sons of Jacob, but he was favored. His father bestowed upon him a multicolored dream coat, and he had this gift of dreaming and everything. You know, it's okay to have a gift of dreaming, just be careful who you share it with. For example, he had this dream one time that all of his brothers were going to bow down to him. And that's okay to have that dream, but just don't tell it to your brothers. That's exactly what he did. He told his brothers, and oh yeah, we're all going to bow down to you. And they threw him into a pit, and they would have killed him had it not been for Benjamin. Benjamin said, no, let's not kill him. Let's just throw him in a pit. Thank you, Benjamin. Well, anyway, the Midianites came, and they sold him as slaves to the Midianites, and Joseph went off to Egypt. But God was with him, the Bible says. But God was with him. That's what you have to understand about your life. You know, you may be sold to slavery, you may be in an addiction, you may be going through some hardships, but God is with you. And when God is with you, it's all over but the shouting. So as you know the story, he gets down to Egypt and he gets falsely accused, thrown into prison. And it says in the Bible that when he was in prison, you know, was that bad luck, good luck? When he was in prison, God was working in his heart. And that's the good that God is always doing. He's conforming us, he's molding us, he's transforming us into the image of Jesus. You must read Romans 8, 28, 29, and 30. I think it's the centerpiece of the whole Bible. And it says that God has predestined us to be conformed to the image of Jesus. He makes all things work to good. So the good that God is doing in our life, in our trials, in our suffering, is that he's changing us into the image of Jesus. That's his great plan for our life. So anyway, there's Joseph, and his soul is being wrought in iron, one of the scriptures says, one of the Psalms, and he's being changed. He spent 13 years in prison. That's a long time. You know, if you ever want to be a person of despair, the first day you give up. But not Joseph. He kept hope. He knew God was up to something. Finally, as you know the story, Pharaoh has this dream and Joseph interprets it. Joseph becomes the governor of Egypt now, second in command of all of Egypt. He's gone from the pit to the palace. That's exactly what God will do in your life. He'll lift you up. He'll promote you. Resurrection. You can't give up hope. So he goes from the pit to the palace now. Because there's a great famine in the land, and because of Joseph's dream, they've got it all in the storage bins now. They got all this food, and everybody's coming to, it's like now, you know, with oil, everybody's coming to the nations that's got the oil. Everybody was coming to Egypt to get the food. And Joseph's there, and, you know, Pharaoh's there, and all of his brothers come. The dream's fulfilled. They all bow down before him. Now, if it were me, my brother sold me into slavery, and they were going to kill me. Now, finally, when the dream is fulfilled, it's like, now's my chance. But remember, God had done a great work in Joseph's soul. God had worked in him with compassion and forgiveness, and he had become a person of great integrity and a person of great dignity. And that's why God promoted him. And now here he is, second in charge of all of Egypt. His brothers lie down, bow down before him. And you know what he said to them? I am your brother Joseph. Get this. What you meant for bad, God meant for good. What the devil means for bad in your life, God always means for good. You must be a person of hope. God is working in your life. He will never fail you or forsake you, even if you don't know him. Even if you're caught in an addiction or sin or adulterous relationship, he's still there with you. Give him a chance to work in your life. He will help you. Don't give up on God. God makes all things work to good. And then, as I conclude this talk on hope, I must tell you, of course, hope is that God is working in the moment, right now, in you, today. It's not just for the future, but it is for the future. We have a glorious future. We are a people of resurrection. We journey toward Easter. We journey toward resurrection. The hope of heaven, the Bible is everywhere. It talks about heaven and what we have ahead of us. That glorious day when we will see God face to face and peace will flow like a river. And all the pains and the sorrows will be forgotten. No more tears, no more sorrow. And what a gracious, glorious day that will be. Three women were talking, strangely enough, about what they wanted to be, what they wanted to be buried in when they were laid out at their wake. I guess, you know, it was one of those conversations around the coffee table. And there they were talking, the three of them, and one of them said, well, when I die, I want to be buried with my pearl necklace. It's a family heirloom, a symbol of my belonging to the family, and I love to be a part of the family, and I want everybody to see it. I'm so proud of our family. The other woman, second one, said, well, when I die, I want everybody to see my wedding ring. It's a symbol of my commitment to my husband. He was faithful to me. I was faithful to him for 50 years, and I want everybody to see that when I'm laid out. So both of them look at the third woman, and they said, so what do you want to be buried with? And she kind of smiled, and she said, well, when I'm laid out at my wake, everybody looks in the casket, I want to be buried with a fork. They looked at her, they said, a fork? What do you want to be buried with a fork for? And she said, well, that's simple. Whenever we would have dinner, Mom would clear the plate. She'd say, keep your fork, dessert is coming. And I want everybody, when they look into the casket and they see the fork, to know that the best is yet to come. And for us, the best is yet to come. And that's why we celebrate Eucharist. It's a time of death and resurrection. It's a time of hope. And we are a people of hope. God writes straight with crooked lines. Don't live in despair. Give God room to move. Anything and everything that you're going through, God's at work. And remember, His great plan is that you be conformed. You become the very image of Jesus. So I always tell people that if you have some hope, no matter what you're going through, you can cope through hope. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We have a living hope, and our living hope is that God is working in our life right now. Wait till you hear this email that I received from somebody that said, I want to take the time now to thank you for saving my life through your TV ministry. Said that one Sunday morning, I was on the verge of suicide, and I was reaching out for anything, and I came across your program. You were teaching on Romans 8, 28, 29, and coping through hope, and now you're my hero. This man came and met me at one of the missions, and we hugged. His mother was there, and it's wonderful how God worked in his life to bring him and to protect him. See, that's what hope is. I've written many resources about hope. One is called Live Passionately. You can cope through hope, this living hope that we have. God is at work in your life. And also a book called You Can Be Happy. You don't have to give in to despair or discouragement. You can be happy. God's at work in your life. That's what hope is. Every time you buy one of my resources, you support me to reach out to people that are struggling, hurting, lost, need help, need inspiration. And you help me to do that by purchasing my resources. Thank you, thank you, thank you for those of you who have already bought some of my resources. I'm hearing from many of you all around the country. Thank you so much, because what you're doing is giving me the money so that I can buy programs, buy airtime, produce these programs, and spread the good news around the country. Thank you in advance for your generosity. Call that number, write us, and you will be blessed in a very beautiful way. Don't just live, live with passion.
We believe you enjoyed Father Cedric's teaching. It is our heartfelt hope that these programs will intensify your relationship with God, and you will sense a new surge of strength in your life. Father Cedric has many resources, audio CDs, DVDs of his television programs, as well as several books to help you in your spiritual journey. Please log on to www.frcedric.org or call 321-474-0997. That's www.frcedric.org. Don't just live, live with passion.